title of the message is Seeing the Invisible God. You know, God, he requires faith for every one of us to walk by faith. And how many of you have seen God sitting on the throne? Anybody here? We see him in our spirits, I'm sure, but we don't get to just walk right up there in our physical bodies and look at him. No, he's invisible, but yet he's as real as that one sitting next to you. Amen? He's real, and God is real, and we're going to share some things this morning that God will be more real to you by the time this is over. We believe that you'll have a vital contact with him. Amen? You know, the Holy Ghost power is his contact power in the spiritual realm, and in the natural realm, it's the electricity. You know, I touched the bulb over there. They told me, actually, Pastor Steve, I don't know if he tried to kill me or what, but he said, go ahead, and I grabbed it, and it was live, or I cut it. And sure enough, it wasn't live. He thought it was dead, but there was still live. That's electricity in the natural. But guess what? In the spiritual realm, the Holy Ghost is the electricity. Amen? And you can operate and tap into that through faith in God, trusting, believing, expecting. You know, Brother Hagin said, expect. Jesus Christ himself said to him, expect. And we should expect. We should not just say, well, maybe God doesn't care for me. God's not real. No, he's real. He's alive. He's well aware of everything that goes on in our lives, and he cares and loves us. So let's pray and believe God. Father, we want to thank you in Jesus' name for your goodness. Let's all stand. Amen. And for his grace. Thank you, Lord God, that we exercise our faith this morning, and we say that you are a good God, and your mercy endures forever. We say, thank you, God, you created the heavens and the earth. And you're our deliverer from every enemy, sickness, disease, poverty, lack, spiritual attack. You're the one who takes good care of us. And we say, thank you, Lord. We expect and we believe that you have a good plan in store for us. And we thank you, Lord, that you can reveal yourself to every one of us more real than ever before. And so we believe you. We trust you. We look to you this morning. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear what the Spirit of God would be saying unto us. And we thank you. We praise you. We thank you for the anointing here. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for boldness, unction, utterance. And we thank you that you are good. If you pray in the Spirit, go ahead and pray a little. And even if you don't, go ahead and make some noises. For we look to you, God, we look to you in every circumstance and every situation, and we believe that you have a good plan in store for every obstacle that we have. You have a plan around it. Every circumstance, you have a way through it. Amen. And you've got a way that we can come out on top smiling and saying, hey, hallelujah, God, you're a good God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And so, when it comes to God, again, he is invisible. We don't see him with our natural eyes, but we see him with the eyes of our spirit, with our hearts. And so, no matter whatever situation we find ourselves in, we could say, God, are you here? Have you ever felt like that at different times? God, are you here? You know, I feel kind of lonely. Amen. And Elvis is singing, he's lonely. And this is singing, and that's singing, and the television is playing, And there could be times of loneliness. There can be times of distress. Has anybody ever had any distress, any complications in your life? Or everybody is just high on the Holy Ghost cloud? No, it's nice when we're on a cloud, but sometimes we go through a valley. Sometimes we go through a storm, and the part that really rips me and makes me upset is when God gets blamed for the storm. God gets blamed for the problem. God gets blamed when he had nothing at all to do with it. In fact, he'll go as high as he can go, around and wide and down below. He'll go all over the place just to try to help us. Amen? But many times we reach a crossroad and we make a wrong choice, we make a wrong decision. Well, God's still there and he still wants to help us. No matter what we go through in life, he still is a good God and he still wants to bring us through to a place of victory, a place of success, a place of blessing, because that's the kind of God we serve. Amen? Sometimes people get upset about money when I find in my Bible that he paves his streets with gold. Well, that's amazingly rich. That's amazingly prosperous to pave your streets with gold. And one fellow saw heaven, he said, even the curbs are gold. Wow, well, he's got a lot of wealth. And here we get a little ring on our finger, and it's gold. Amen? But that's minor compared to the gold and the riches. But that's just temporal things. But God wants you to be blessed spiritually as well and have everything we need. So over in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Everybody say, clearly seen. They're clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. When I flew in the airplane in 1986 for the first time, and I wasn't saved either, eh? And so, is my kids in here? I don't want to tell any stories that jeopardize me. But anyways, I flew in the plane. Anyways, I wanted to go to BC because I wanted to drink a coconut beer. I heard it was great out there. But anyways, I was flying on a plane. I started crying, and I wasn't born again. I wasn't saved. I told God, one day I'm going to get born again. One day I'm going to get saved. One day I'm going to serve you. I told him, give me a wife, I'll serve you. He said, no, you serve me, I'll give you a wife. Oh, okay. See, he pulls those fast ones on you. And we try to make deals with him. I did make a couple of deals, and he did come through. But when you get older, guess what? The deal making is over. He has a will, he has a plan, he has a purpose for your life, and you must fulfill it. So I was on this plane, I started crying, looking out the window, and I saw all these little small specks. What were those specks? They were human beings. They were walking around. They were so small. I could see everything very clear. It was a clear day. And I said, oh, God, wow, how big are you? You seem very big. And I looked up in the heavens, and yet there's so much more. You know, and the Bible says don't call anybody a fool. But if God wants to call somebody a fool, he can call him a fool. But he said the fool has said in his heart there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Because the things that are clearly seen, the trees, the birds, yourself, just look at yourself, how intricate you are. You know, God made you and formed you and fashioned you, and yet he gave you a free will. What a masterful God, eh? Let's lift up our hands. Let's thank him. Father, we want to thank you that you're a good God, that you're powerful, and that you made us, you created us, and you loved us, and you destined us for good success and for prosperity and blessings and health and healing and to fulfill your will while we still have breath in our lungs in Jesus' name. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so he made us, and he fashioned us and formed us, and yet he gave us a free will. And so we walk around this earth made. We're made. God made us. Oh, that's so exciting that God created us. He fashioned, he formed us. And then he goes and he says, go ahead and be filled with my spirit. Be just like me. Amen. And so God created us. He created us for a purpose. And so the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But God is clearly seen by everything that we walk around. Even the technology in the world. You see the iPhones. You see all the cars, the automobiles. Guess what? God fashioned the man and gave him enough knowledge to be able to fashion that and create it. Woo! He's a big God. Even if they don't acknowledge him, he is a big God and he made it. And he fills us with his spirit and he fills us with his life, and we can do things for his glory and for his honor. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You have to believe that God is, amen? And then you have to believe that he is a rewarder. Everybody say a rewarder. So if I do something in line with his plan, his purpose, his will, guess what? He wants to reward you. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you because he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And why the devil sneaks in there and he tries to make a muck and tries to blur the vision that we have towards God. But God wants you to say that, hey, see, show you that, hey, he sees you clearly. And don't be distracted by anything else. Any circumstances that come your way, don't be distracted, because God has a plan and he has a purpose for your life. So the first thing, if we're going to see this invisible God, we have to see him in the Word. Amen? You got to see God in the Word. Smith Wigglesworth, who was a great man of God, and he said, I don't know God by feelings. I can't feel, you know, one day I feel good. Woo! God is for me. He's not against me. Hallelujah. Things are going good. I got a check today. And I feel good about it. Amen. We all feel good when we see money, when we see a check. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But what if we see a bill? Ooh. Then maybe we lost our joy. Maybe we're not going to be as excited. And you can't go by feelings. And Smith Wigglesworth said, you can't go by feelings. You can't go. You can't know God by feelings. You got to know him by what he says in his word. And if you're going to see him, you got to see him in what his word says about him. The Bible says every good and every perfect gift comes from him. That means good things come from God. Everybody say good things come from God. Bad things come from the devil. See? Good from God, bad from the devil. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So we find out about God in Psalms 40, verse 7 and 8. It says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will, O God. Yes, thy law is within my heart. Here, God, in the form of Jesus Christ, came to earth. Just like you, just like me, born through a woman, Jesus came to earth. And then he wanted to grow up and do God's will. He wanted to do God's plan. He wanted to do what God had for him to do. And he said, that's the reason I've come. I've come to do the will of God. And you have to find scriptures in the Bible to find out that when he started to grow and to develop, he was 12 years old. He wanted to be about his father's business. Isn't that a cute little boy? I just love it so much. You know, when kids want to do the will of God, when kids want to do the plan and purpose, and then they get a little bit older and, you know, that could be overshadowed and kind of put to the side. But it's wonderful that Jesus was 12 and he wanted to do the will of God. He wanted to do the plan and the purpose of God. How many of you want to do the will of God? Amen. That's good that we should desire to do the will of God. I thought that when I heard my mother say something about the will of God, I said, how does God know anything about me? I don't think so. He don't know what kind of girl I like. He don't know this. He don't know that. I didn't think he did. But guess what? I found out he knows more than I do. He knows a lot more than I do. And that's why I serve him. That's why I trusted him today. Because every time I had problems, I would immediately go to him. So why go to him just when you have problems? You might as well go to him all the time and submit your heart and your life to him wholly and freely. Then the blessings will come into your life. And so God is a faithful God. And as we look to him through faith in him, through trust in him, guess what? He's going to be able to put us over every single time. So it says here that Jesus was 12 years old. He wanted to be about his father's business. And then his parents took him back home for another 18 years. They said, you come with us. You know, so they wanted to rule the roost a little bit longer. Have you ever had a mother who wants to rule the roost? Amen. Just take it with a grain of salt. But anyways, you can control your kids so much, but then sooner or later they'll break free. And adios, amigo, let them go. Because you trained them up the best you could. We did the best we knew how. And then when they get older, they go. So for 18 years, Jesus doesn't say much about him. He was, I guess, working with his dad in the carpenter shop and doing different things. But then it came to a place where he wanted to be water baptized. And when he was baptized, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost came upon him. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he wanted to do thy will. And it says here that, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will. So God had to do the will of God. Even though that seems weird that God would have to do God's will. But when he came from glory, he gave up all his power. He gave up all his authority, so to speak. And he was born a man. And the Bible says, found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so Jesus had to find himself in the Bible. And you and me have to find ourselves in the Bible as well. And we're going to know about God because of what the Bible says. Everybody say, the Bible is God speaking to me. Amen. And so we find out about him through the scriptures. We find about him through the word of God. And so we have to see, what does the Bible say about him? And the Bible says in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, not evil. He went about doing good. Everybody say doing good. Amen. I'm trying to get you to participate. Hallelujah. Doing good. And what else was he doing? Bad? No, he went about doing good and healing. Everybody say healing. All that are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So he went about doing good. So we see that Jesus, he does good. He brings healing. Amen? How many of you need healing here? Hallelujah. Well, then God is the one that will bring that to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Ed, put up that arm. You got a sore arm in Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah. Stretch it. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that healing flows through this arm. Amen. And we curse any arthritis. Arthritis is a curse from the devil. Amen. And health and healing is from God. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. So we have to see him in the word and what the word of God said. The Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we hear in the scriptures about God. You know, I was sad to see about the Long Lac church that burnt down. Pastor Roma took me to that building, and we looked around, and it was nice. And then all of a sudden, it's on flames. That's sad, because that's a historical landmark that's wiped off. But guess what? God can never be wiped off. Amen? God can never be wiped off. He's always the same yesterday, today, and forever, because he never changes. People change, circumstances change, things change, but God never changes. Amen? He stays the same. And he's had power and Holy Ghost power for them back then. In those days, guess what? He's got for us right now. And we want to believe him, and we want to trust him, and we want to say, thank you, Lord God, for your power. And we look to the word and what the word says about you. If the Bible says that you're good, then you're good. If the Bible says that he has a plan for your life, then he has a plan for your life. If the Bible says that God is ever watchful of you, the Bible says his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts may be right towards him. And so he's watching. He's got a watchful eye. I like Corrie Ten Boom. Have you ever heard of Corrie Ten Boom? She was back in the Holocaust, and she was in the prison camps. And she says, God is very interested in you. He's got a microscope and a telescope right in your life. Amen? A microscope and a telescope. That means he sees you, everything about you, but he also knows the intricate parts inside of you. He knows how you're fashioned and how you are created. And yet God Almighty sees you through your pain. Amen? He sees you through any suffering. She said that the time that was the most devastating was when roll call would come, and they were in prison, of course. They were in the concentration camps. They had to remove all their clothes. That's horrible, eh? An old woman has to remove her clothes. So filthy, you know, the way they've treated those people. And they had to remove their clothes. But immediately she looked at a line, and she saw a little bird chirping away there. And she says, God, oh, wow. And she said, every day at roll call, that bird would come and would chirp there. Because God was watching, amen? And God cares through everything they go through, amen? And she says, my sister caught a cold, and I wanted a hanky. And so she prayed, Lord, I need a hanky. And there was a tap on the window of the cell there. And one of the guards said, here, God wants me to give you a hanky. Why? Because God, isn't those beautiful stories? Because God cares. Amen? Never get to a place where he doesn't care. He watches over us, and he's ever watchful of us, and he cares for us, and he's always seeking the very best for us. Amen? Everybody say, he's seeking the best for me. Amen, amen. Sometimes you just got to say it. That's the walk of faith. is when you start saying things. If you just say things, what you have, that's what you'll have. You'll always have it. But when you start speaking things that are something that's contrary to what you have and something God wants you to have, guess what? Blessings and faith arise in your heart, because God, that's the kind of God we serve. He's always watchful. He's always caring for us. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. So we have to see him in the word. It says in Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Attend unto my words. Incline your ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Where's your heart? Right here on the inside of you. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Because they're life to those who find them, and they're health to all their flesh. So when you keep God's word in your heart, guess what? It starts to work in your body. It starts to work in you, and it produces a healing, and it produces a cure, because it's God's eternal word that will never fail. Amen? God's word will never, ever fail. For it is life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So to see the invisible God, we have to see him in the word. And when we see him in the word, then we're going to get to know him. I don't doubt at all, absolutely at all, that God don't love me. He loves me. I tell you, he gives me a big fat kiss right on the face. Amen? He loves me, and he loves you just the same. But we could have a twisted perception. What's that word? Perception. There you go. You could have a twisted perception of God, and then we think he don't care. No, he cares. Woo! Hallelujah, he cares. And it's not just me being excited about my own blessings. Because sometimes we can say, oh, God, you bless me, you bless me. Yeah, you bless me. But guess what? He's faithful. But yet the devil tries to twist it and say, you know, you can't have something. You can't have what God promises you. No, if God promises you, guess what? You can have it, because it's his word. Amen? That's what you hang on to. When feelings come, whatever else comes your way, don't you say, no, I'm trusting in the Bible. I'm trusting in the word. I'm trusting in God's word. God's word is more faithful than any human. More than your wife, more than your husband, more than mama, daddy, grandma. God's word can be counted on, because it cannot fail. And if we can get God, hallelujah, and understand his word when it brings revelation to us, then we've got a firm foundation. So number one, we got to see him in the word. And that's how you see the invisible God. The next one, I've got to see him in your word. Everybody say, in my word. So the words that you speak are very powerful. How many of you ever heard? Oh, I can't hear God's voice. Has anybody ever said that, or wanted to, or thought they've heard someone else say it? I can't hear God's voice. He's too distant. I pray and pray and pray. Nothing happens. Well, those are doubt-filled words. Those are empty words. God wants you, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. This is a little book by Brother Hagin. It says, How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. I believe they're in the bookstore. But the woman with the issue of blood. In my vision, this is Brother Hagin talking about Jesus. And again, if Brother Hagin doesn't say something in line with the Bible, then forget him. Amen. He's just as human as everybody else. But for a man to talk to Jesus for an hour and a half, I want to hear what he has to say, because that seems to be a long time to sit and talk with a person. What do you think, Ernie? If Jesus sat in your place there across from the casino and talked to you for an hour and a half, I'm sure that you would hear some things. Well, we can learn some things from a man that would talk to Jesus that long and for one period of time. It's in my vision, Jesus said, positive or negative, it's up to an individual. According to what the individual saves, that's what they will receive. He said, we're talking about the woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood said, for she said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. You know, she spent all she had on physicians and nothing better. She did all kinds of things. Now she was an outcast thrown to the sides of the city. Don't come near us, woman. And so this is what Jesus said. He said, this woman could have made a negative confession instead of a positive one. And that would have been what she received. She could have said, there's no use for me to go. I've suffered so long. 12 years I've been sick. All the best doctors have given up my case. I've spent all my living on physicians. I'm not better, but growing worse. I have nothing to live for. I might as well die. He said, if that what she would have said, this is Jesus talking, that's what she would have received. But she did not speak negatively. She spoke positively, for she said, if I might touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Isn't that a beautiful little booklet, eh? And that's Jesus saying that with the woman with the issue of blood. If I may touch but the hem of his garment. So if she would have said the negative, you know, then she would have got the negative. So that puts a big responsibility in our camp. Amen? A lot of times people say, oh, God, you do it, or I'm going to wait around and wait for God. You're going to be waiting a long time. God is not waiting on, he's waiting on you. We wait on God, but guess what? God's waiting on us. He wants to hear the words come out of our mouth. Amen? He wants to hear us say words of affirmation, what it says about him, about us in his word. So to see the invisible God, you got to see him in your word. And one other thing about the presence of God. You know, when I got born again in 87, I was driving my vehicle, a Ford truck, F-150. Brand new. Just came out of the railroad. I wanted a new life. I got rid of my black Trans Am. And I had dreams of that thing for years. Every time I was in the car, I was doing bad stuff. That's horrible car. But what it was bad. I needed to renew my mind. So finally, the car went away after a year or two. But anyways, I was a new creature, so I went and bought a truck, F-150, for $10,000. And so I was driving on the farm. I was so happy driving down the road in Saskatchewan. They got roads 2 miles by 1 mile, and they're just squares and the whole thing. If you've been to Saskatchewan, you know. And so I was driving down the road, and I was talking with God, and I said, oh, God, this is so nice. I'm so happy. I'm saved. You're in my heart, and your presence is just so great. Oh, man, I was weeping, and then I thought about that other road way over there, how dark it was over there, but here I'm so light. And I said, I'm going to drive around the block and see what's so dark over there. So I drove all the way around the block. And when I got to the other side, it was all light there. It was all nice. I said, oh, God, it's so light here and it's dark over there. And I figured it out with my lightning fast mind that he's with us. Amen. And he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. And his presence is always with us. Sometimes it's greater, sometimes it's less, but he's always with us. Praise his holy name. So we've got to see him in what we say. Amen. We've got to see him in our words, in what we say. So it says in Mark 11, 23 and 24, whatever you believe, amen, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe those things which you say shall come to pass. You shall have whatsoever you say. Amen. And then when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. So I say unto you, whatsoever you desire when you, whatsoever you desire when you pray, you believe that you receive it. But also in the other scripture, it says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have anything that he says and believes. So that gives us the authority to be able to see God by what we say. So never say again, you know, I can't hear God's voice. Or I don't know where God is in my problem here in my situation. No, say, God, you're right here. You're bringing me through. And you're going to put me right on top in your mighty name. So see him in the word. So verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe. Everybody say believe. See, believing is not by external of how it looks out here. It's believing in what God's word says. Right in your spirit. And so if you're going to believe, you're going to speak. Something's going to come out of that mouth of yours. And in my mouth, many times negative things have come out. But I had to catch myself and say, no, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that. Amen? Because it's detrimental and it hurts. It hurts me and it hurts God because God does not want that for me. So I want to say things right online with what his word says, because his word is going to be that anchor that I can hang on to. So it says, whether good or bad, negative or positive, we're going to have what we say. And so 1 Peter 3:10 says, he that would love life and see good days. How many of you want good days? Amen. See, he that love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips they speak no guile. So that means you're going to have to watch your tongue again. If God's going to be able to be seen in you, he's going to have to be able to listen to your words. And as you speak, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that Jesus Christ, he got all the people together and he separated them like sheep from goats. And he said, all you over here, I was hungry and you never fed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me nothing to drink. I was in prison. You didn't visit me. And they all looked at him. I was in the hospital and you didn't come. And they said, Lord, when did that ever happen? He said, as you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. And then he said to those on the other side, he said, all you guys, hey, I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was in prison and you visited me. I was in the hospital and you clothed me. And so forth and so on. And they said, Lord, when did we ever see you in those circumstances? He says, as you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. And so God sees our words. He sees our actions and he sees our deeds. Amen. And so if the invisible God is going to be made manifest in us, then we got to say some words. We got to say some good, positive word of what the Bible says about me. Amen. Everybody say, I'm a new creature. In Christ Jesus, I make good choices. I could make good decisions right in line with the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's possible. I think of my dear mother. You know, she lived with my dad all those years, I think 40 years of marriage, and he wasn't born again. But yet she stayed faithful in what her Christian belief and her faith in God stood for. Amen. Even if John did, he was a weekend drinker, but even if he did that, you know, she was still faithful. I only remember her reaming him out maybe two or three times. But most of the time it was good. Why? Because she was filled with the Spirit. She was filled with God. She always spoke good. Amen? And that can change the person. Before he died, I remember him saying to his wife, he said, you know, I believe in Jesus. I believe that they treated him bad. I believe he died. And he rose again. And so he got saved before he died. Amen. But he didn't get to fulfill all God's will while he was on the earth. But he did, you know, his best what he had to work with. But we have more knowledge. And so we should be far in advance. Amen. In what God desires for every one of us. And so we're here. We have to see a God. You have to see God, the invisible God, in your words and what you say. So what you say is what you get. Amen. If you say it ain't going to happen, guess what? It's not going to happen. If you say I can't, guess what? You can't. If you say this will never happen, guess what? It'll never, ever happen. But if you say with God all things are possible, your word says this, your word says that, amen? I'm going to trust in your word. I'm going to trust in you because you and your word are one and you're not going to lie. Hallelujah. I can have exactly what you said I can have because you're not a liar. Amen, amen. So, Psalms 119:11, thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so that word, when we get it inside of our hearts, it gets in there and then it starts to come out of us. And it'll start coming out of your mouth. You'll start speaking it. You'll start acting on the word of God and it'll start to change your destiny. Amen. So if we're going to see God, we've got to see him in the word. We've got to see him in our what we say. But then we're also going to see him in your life. In Mark chapter 5, 32 and 34, it says, and he looked around to see her that had done this thing, referring to the woman with the issue of the blood. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell before him and told him all the truth. He said unto her, daughter, your faith. Everybody say, your faith. Your faith has made you whole. So there's 19 individual cases in the Bible. And, of course, you'll hear Pastor Roma teach about it. But there's 19 cases individually. Yeah, big multitudes of people followed Jesus at different times and different places. Multitudes were healed. But they were specifically in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John chosen examples, 19 of them. And this is one case where the woman says, Jesus said, great is your faith. So 10 out of 19. Everybody say 10 out of 19. The person's faith operated God. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? So out of 10 people, or out of 19 cases, 10 people got to get a blessing, so to speak, from the Almighty God. And Jesus turns around and says, your faith did it. Woo! So that means if 10 cases did it, that means it's a very small percentage where God just comes in the meeting, amen, and gives a word of knowledge where somebody specifically pinpoints something on them and reveals it unto them. But we blow that out of proportion. Benny Hinn can't house the people because of that many words of knowledge. I counted words of knowledge also with a lady by the name of Catherine Kuhlman. Out of 14,000 people in a meeting in Tulsa, there was 30-some words of knowledge out of 14,000 people. Well, that's not quite the percentage. So if we get in a house like this and God speaks a word of knowledge, which is something spectacular, in one or two people, we're in the same kind of percentage as that. And so God, yeah, he does move spectacularly like that, supernaturally with words of wisdom and words of knowledge. But most of all, people are going to receive what they need from God by their own faith. Amen? Because 10 out of 19 cases, it's the person's faith. And so it's your faith, it's my faith that's going to have to say, thank you, Lord. Amen? Thank you, Lord. I recall, again, and this is it's a minor story, but to some it could not be a minor story, but I always wanted to be married. And so I've met different people, and they were nice people. In fact, some of them are my Facebook friends. But anyways, they were nice people. But I just knew that it wasn't right on the inside of me, that something quite wasn't right. Until I read a little book by Frederick K.C. Price. He said that you got to believe that you receive if you're going to ever have anything from God. And so I came to that place that I believe that I receive. I'm not going to ask one more time about a wife. I said, I don't care. You know, I'm. You think God's deaf? How many times are we going to have to tell him? Please, you know, can I lay in the, I got a little doggy. And as soon as I come by her, she rolls over. And she wants me to scratch her belly. You know, but how many times do we going to go to God and ask him about the same thing over and over and over and over and over? No, he's not deaf. He's got a good memory. Amen? What he's looking for is that you said it once, good enough, believe it, I receive it. Thank you, Lord. Amen? He wants you to get into praise mode. At Rhema, there was an older lady that always got her prayers answered, Brother Hagin said. She had a vision of that old-time scale. Well, you know, they got the scale, and there one's this side, one's on this side. The prayers are right down to the bottom. You know, God, gimme, 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 gimme. The praise on the other side's way up in the air. When you get that praise side down on that scale, get it down, start praising the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God, you're at work. Thank you, Lord, for your plans and your purposes. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing. Thank you, Lord, for your gifts, for your graces. Thank you, Lord, for your healing. Thank you, Lord, that you're a good God. Thank you, Lord, that you can move heaven and earth just to get to me. Thank you, Lord. And when that scale gets down and that those begging prayer requests come up, guess what? The answer is there. Why? Because that's God. He's looking for faith. This woman, Jesus didn't even know the woman was around. Everybody say, Jesus didn't know the woman was around. And so the only thing the Bible says about the woman with the issue of blood is for she heard. Amen. She heard something. She must have heard Jesus is doing good and healing, that Jesus is healing people. And so she pressed in the crowd. Amen. And she was moving, and she finally got to Jesus and touched him. And that was the activation of her faith. She was healed. Woo! She was healed, and Jesus, immediately knowing virtue came out of him, turned around and said, who touched me? And the disciples gave a good story. They said, there's multitudes of people. Everybody's crowding. Hey, you see all those movie stars, hey? They're red carpet specials. Oh, boy, everybody just, they're clamoring, trying to get a touch, and those guys ain't going to give you nothing, absolutely nothing. But Jesus, he gave something because that's Jesus. He's the Savior. And the woman went and touched the hem of his garment. And so she activated the power of God. Amen? The woman activated it. And then Jesus said, well, then who touched me? And the Bible says immediately she felt. See, she didn't go by how it feels first. She did what she said. I'm going to touch his garment. She acted. She touched. And then she had to say, I got healed. And Jesus didn't reprimand her and say, why are you touching me? No, he said, great is your faith, woman. And 10 cases out of the 19, that's what Jesus said. So Jesus, if Father, the invisible God is going to be seen in us, he's going to be seen in our lives. Amen? Your consistency. Debbie, you're one of the most consistent people here. Constantly, day in, day out, consistently. Amen? That stands strong in the eyes of God because God is a faithful God. Working out the plan, working out what God desires, working what he has for each one of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So we've got to have some examples too in our lives that God is at work in us. Amen? God is a faithful God. Glory to God. Psalms 119:57, I pondered the direction for my life and I turned to follow your ways. What God desires, his plans, his purposes. That's what we should say, I want that for my life. Amen? Let's lift up our hands. Let's thank God. Thank you, Lord, for your plans and your purposes for my life. That each one here may experience, hallelujah, your goodness in their life. That people will say, oh, that's God working right there. I see God's finger on that circumstance right there. Father, we reach out with the hand of faith and we say, thank you, Lord, that you're at work. Amen, in that marriage, that you're at work in that family, that you're at work at that hospital, amen, and that the ones that are hungering and thirsting for you, they shall be filled. Oh, for Rama Sandaravasa. Father, make each one of us more aware of you in our lives. Oh, Kotakarama Sandere Keshtandaramasa. We bless you. We say thank you, Father. We activate. We touch the hem of your garment, Jesus, just like that woman touched. Hallelujah, you. Zoko rama sandarebe setarebasike sandoko shtoko takasike tavasa. And the power is available for each one of us. Hallelujah. Jesus said to Brother Hagin, the power is always available. Sometimes it's greater, sometimes it's less, but the power is always available. Praise his holy name. So 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4, it says, according to his divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given us exceeding great. So they're exceeding great and precious promises. So God's promises are given unto us, exceeding great and precious promises. Thank you, Father, for your exceeding great and precious promises. That the Bible says you sent your word and you healed them and delivered them from all their afflictions. God and his word are one. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Well, let's all stand. Thank you, Father. Oh, poroma sandarebeki stekere namashtanga, tangasiki takrasa terama sandarama sandarebeki shtiki. Ezevatana rakasiki, so toboko shokoso. Father, we want to thank you and bless you this morning. We say thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for your faithfulness to us. Oh, tarama sandarama sandarama sandarebeki shtiki rikisi. Oh, thank you, Spirit of the living God. We worship you and we thank you. Oh, soko roma sanda kasata ramasiteta. Izavete ramasanda ramasanda kasa. For he's an ever-present help in time of need. That's the kind of God he is. Amen? Ever-present help in time of need. Thank you, Father. Ku makashika, makashika moku ramasita taramasata tataha. Vesa moku soboku stoku ramasata ramasa. E sebera boku stoku ramasandere beke sikiri devasandara. Father, we want to thank you here this morning. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We bless you this morning. We say, let you be exalted in this place. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your faithfulness, because you're faithful. Stir them up. Amen. It's only 11:49. Stir them up a little bit. Go ahead and activate your prayer language. Go ahead and pray and believe and trust. Thank you, Lord God, that we look to you. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future and expected end. Thank you, Lord God, for that. We bless you, Lord God. Faithful, faithful, faithful are you, Lord God. Maybe somebody needs to sing a little bit of praise and a little bit of honor to God. Amen. The praise will break the oppression. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're faithful and you're kind. For the presence of the Lord breaks every captive. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Breaks the bondages. Thank you, Lord God. I bless you. For praise, you inhabit the praises of your people. And we praise you this morning. We say thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord God, for your health and for your healing. Thank you for your deliverance. Thank you, Jesus. What would you sound like if you had that answer? What would you look like? Amen. Would you be thrilled? Would you be happy? Oh, Father, we want to bless you that you're the God who answers prayers. That you're the one who brings us to a place that we trust wholly in you, saying everything else didn't work, but it works with you. Hallelujah. Everybody else failed me, but you never did fail me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I couldn't get my security anywhere else. Money didn't give it. People didn't give it. Friends didn't give it, but you gave it. And you gave it good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Fill us, Father, with your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your power, your mighty ability in us. Thank you, Lord God, that some will say and do things that they didn't expect to say and do because of the presence and the power of God. Thank you, Jesus. For I take the weak things, says the Lord, to confound the wise. I take those insignificant things and I bring them to the forefront. And we want to thank you, Lord God, for that. Thank you for your words. In your presence is fullness of joy. Fullness. Everybody say fullness. Amen. Fullness of joy. And the right hand, their pleasures forevermore. If you got a problem in your life, you need more God in that life. Amen. You need God's presence to envelop that circumstance, that situation. You got problems at work? You need God there. Let God be inside of you so full that they say, what happened to them? Oh, makashtandaramasa. Sometimes Christians, they cower under and they go the other way when we should be standing firm and say, thank you, Lord God. We're not moved by what we feel. We moved only by what we believe, and we believe your word. And your word is from foundation, from the foundation of the world until the future. Thank you, Lord Jesus, Son of the living God. We worship you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling us this morning. Thank you for making us alive and blessing us and helping us. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit, and we thank you, Father, for this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, God is faithful, isn't he? Amen. So you go have a wonderful Sunday morning, and remember that you can see God in everything that you do. Amen.